From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns brings another portion of a message called Loving Others. In his summary of the law, Christ said that we are to love others as we love ourselves. Using the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, our Lord emphasized that believers must never ask, "Who is my neighbor?" Rather, God's people are to seek to be neighbors to anyone in need, without regard to their station in life or the sin of which they may be guilty. The truth is that if we profess to love God, we must love others. Too often we are guilty of loving and helping only those who are able to reciprocate. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in the third chapter of Lamentations and verse 58. O Lord, Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Observe how positively the prophet speaks. He does not say, I hope, I trust, I sometimes think that God has pleaded the causes of my soul. But he speaks of it as a matter of fact, not to be disputed. Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Let us, by the aid of the gracious Comforter, shake off those doubts and fears which so much mar our peace and comfort. Be this our prayer, that we may have done with the harsh, croaking voice of surmise and suspicion, and may be able to speak with a clear, melodious voice of full assurance. Notice how gratefully the prophet speaks, ascribing all the glory to God alone. You perceive there is not a word concerning himself or his own pleadings. He does not ascribe his deliverance in any measure to any man, much less to his own merit. But it is Thou, O Lord, Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. A grateful spirit should ever be cultivated by the Christian, and especially after deliverances, we should prepare a song for our God. Earth should be a temple filled with the songs of grateful saints, and every day should be a censer smoking with the sweet incense of thanksgiving. How joyful Jeremiah seems to be while he records the Lord's mercy! How triumphantly he lifts up the strain! He has been in the low dungeon, and is even now no other than the weeping prophet. And yet, in the very book which is called Lamentations, clear as the song of Miriam when she dashed her fingers against the tabor, shrill as the note of Deborah when she met Barak with shouts of victory, we hear the voice of Jeremiah going up to heaven, Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul, Thou hast redeemed my life. O children of God, seek after a vital experience of the Lord's loving kindness, and when you have it, speak positively of it, sing gratefully, shout triumphantly.
Let us all praise God and sing our great Redeemer's praise. May all with one accord our joyful voices raise. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia, sing alleluia. All ye servants of the Lord, praise Him forever. praise God and sing our great Redeemer's name. And we may all with one accord our joyful voices raise.
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs, made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
greatest good you can do for yourself and for others is to know, receive, love, and serve the Savior. The man who would best serve his fellow man must first love his God. That leads me to say that if you do love God, you should love your fellow man. Now let me make this very clear to you. You cannot love God and be indifferent to men. That's a very bold statement, but it's true. You cannot love the Lord and be indifferent to men and women around you and all their need. The Apostle John put it this way in 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Now that's strong language. You say you love God, but you have no interest in men and women around you. You have no interest in serving them or loving them. God says your love for God is a figment of your imagination. It's a product of your own making. It is a lie. Because if you love God, you must love your fellow man. More specifically, if you love the law of God, you must love your fellow man. I got to thinking about this week, it occurred to me that all too often we make, and I say we, I mean Christians generally, but particularly those of us who are fundamental Bible-believing Christians are prone to fall into this sin by the very zeal that we have for the Word of God. But all too often we make our supposed love for God's law an excuse to despise men. We look at those men and what are they? They are lawbreakers. They are vicious sinners. They are rebels against God. And all too often we write them off as such. Whereas in reality, that's all the more reason why we should love them with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's an important lesson for us all. We can take it to the workplace. We can take it in our dealings with sinners generally. We can bring it into the home. There's a lesson here especially for Christian parents. If you set out to deal with your children by a law that excludes the love of the gospel, you will fail to teach your children either law or gospel. That truth will carry over beyond the home to every other area of life, because love is the fulfillment of the law. The Bible teaches me that hatred and hatefulness are marks of the world. They are marks of sin. Titus chapter 3 verse 3 puts it like this. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the way we were before we were saved. But grace changes all that. Now what's the opposite of that? According to that teaching, Christians should be both lovable and loving. Now those are strange words, unfortunately, in the pulpit nowadays. You say you're a Christian. Well, just take those two words I've used and start applying them to yourself. How lovable are you? God's people are called in Scripture a peculiar people. And mind you, there's many a time they are. The only thing is, you see, that the word peculiar has a totally different meaning today than it had when our translators translated the Bible. Then it meant they were a special treasure. It's the meaning of the word peculiar. They are a special treasure to God and to each other. Now, peculiar means odd, strange. And I fear that very often that's the only kind of peculiarity you get among many Christians. Christians should be lovable people. It should be hard to dislike a Christian. Now, the ungodly will do that anyway, no matter how hard it is. But it should be something they have to push themselves to do, and it will be a response to your stand and your love for God. But as a character, your entire character should be something lovable. When you bring this into the home, for example, this should be the overriding character. You'll not have love at the heart of a home unless the characters in that home are lovable characters and then loving characters. Lovable and loving. In the home, in the church, in the workplace. According to Titus 3 verse 3, that is the description that should mark the people of God. So, if you love God, you should love your fellow man. You're not to be bitter. You're not to be spiteful. You're not to be hateful and causing hatred. Furthermore, you must not limit this love to a few, but bestow it generally on all men. The Lord Jesus says, love your neighbor. He even goes further, and in Matthew 5:44, he says, love your enemies. Paul told the Christians, pray for all men. And Peter warned servants whose masters were difficult to get along with. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, also to the perverse. You see, we must show that love to all men. Why? Very simply, because they are men. It's the community of the same human nature that's the basis of this commandment. And that community of nature reminds us that men are the special objects of the grace of God. And God can take our loving witness for Christ, and He can reach out to the hardest, the blackest, the darkest sinner in creation, and turn that man to make him a saint of God. On that basis, therefore, we should love not just the few, but generally, our neighbors. Now, it's easy to say that, but we all tend to love those who love us, or who may love us. We give to those who will give back to us. And then we cut off the rest as unworthy. Have you ever wondered about those words of the Lord Jesus in Luke 14, verse 12 and following? When he said to him that bade him to his home, he said, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. Here's the logic of grace. Thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. This sort of logic makes no sense to the world. But Jesus said, thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now, obviously, that is not an absolute statement. The Lord is not saying you can never have your family for dinner. You can never have your friends for dinner. That's not what he's saying. But he's attacking the attitude that we give to those who will give to us. We love those who will love us back. We curry favor with those who are richer or better off in some way than we are, so that we will benefit by what we do to them. The Savior says, forget all that. Take what you are and what you have and employ it in love for those who can't recompense you. And God will bless you for it. So you're to love all men. Why, love for men flows from our love for God and expresses that love for God. There is one thing, however, we need to add, and that is, it must never replace it. Do you see what the Savior says? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, never as thy God. The love that we bear to others is the love that we have for ourselves, but it can never, never approximate even the love that we bear to God. What the Savior's saying is this, and this opens up a vast field that I am really only going to touch on tonight, that we must never elevate any person to the place that belongs only to the Lord. This is true of the affection we give to people. Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. There is a sense in which you're to love yourself and love your neighbor, but there is a sense in which you're to hate yourself and hate your neighbor. Is there a contradiction? No, no. What the Savior is saying is that there is an affection, there is a devotion, there is a love that belongs solely to the Lord. And do not let anybody steal that devotion. Our application of God's law must always be with biblical love. We have pointed that out. But what the Savior is saying here is specifically this. Our expression of love should always be within the bounds of God's law. Allow no earthly love to keep you from Christ. If you allow anybody to keep you from Christ, you are loving man rather than God. Allow no person, be it father or mother or children or brothers or sisters or friends or acquaintance, allow no man, no woman to keep you from Christ. Allow no earthly love to make you disobey God. If you disobey God out of a love for some man, woman, or thing on earth, then you have replaced God on the throne of your heart. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, but never as thy God. Put no earthly relationship before the Savior. Let no man come between you and doing God's will.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.